How's it going, everybody? Welcome to Rolling Lines, an Apples and Genos production. My name is Josh Hutchinson, and I'll be your host. We are live on YouTube and X. We're going to be talking about moves for the rest of the week, power play changes around the league, zero G candidates, and we'll be taking mailbag questions. So without further ado, let's go. And I've got a special guest today. I'm really excited. I've got Alan from the Pork Man in the Discord from the Five Hole Fantasy Hockey Taxi Squad podcast. I'm really excited, Alan. Alan, how are you doing tonight?
Yeah, no, it's very surreal to be here. Longtime listener, first time caller. But yeah, I'm ready to talk some hockey.
Not a first time caller, though, because I am well aware that you're a longtime listener because you were there right from the beginning when Binksy and I started this midweek show over two years ago. And you were in asking questions almost every week.
Funny story, some of those were for me, but some of those I'm like, you know what? This is like a good content question. And I just want to provide that.
Love it, man. Well, I respect that. I thank you for helping us out and for honestly being a longtime listener. It's really awesome that you're here. It's very cool. Alan, why don't you talk a little bit for those who don't know you? Why don't you talk a little bit about your history with fantasy hockey? And I don't know how you got into it, how you got into five hole.
So I think it was the 16-17 season. My buddy who got me into hockey was just like, hey, let's play fantasy hockey. You would really like it. And he was right, because it's all about crunching galaxy brain stuff. But I really think he just wanted to live out the show, the league, which didn't quite come to pass. Learned a lot from that season, learned a lot of other players on other teams. But playing with friends and stuff wasn't much of a challenge, except for my wife, who is pretty much the only other person who set their lineup. After a couple seasons of that, I'm like, you know what? I want to branch out. I want to play against real people who set their lineups. So I joined a keeper league that was forming on Reddit that season. I'm actually the commissioner of that league now. I'm surprised I haven't completely doxed myself. No one's brought it up in the league chat or anything. Fantasy Hockey Podcast was like the first one I discovered. And it was just, I love those guys. Like, I hope they're doing great out there. As I go through the week and I listen to them, I'm like, all right, what else is out there? So then I actually found Five Hole, like right as they went from Locked On to starting Five Hole, their own venture.
Yeah, that's awesome. Five Hole was probably one of the first fantasy hockey podcasts I listened to. Really, really enjoy their authenticity. I've spoken to TJ about that and how much I respect them just kind of laying it all out there and not pulling punches. And that's kind of how I like to do things. So obviously, I think the audience has probably noticed. I feel like I've done almost the full car wash on Rolling Lines with the fantasy with the Five Hole guys. More than half of you. And Jay, I haven't had Raj or Zach on, but I've had TJ. So I'm sure I'll get you all on at some point, but. For those of you worrying that I'm not diversifying, I do have some other guests coming up. Honestly, the Five Hole guys have just been really accessible and really, really available. So it's been really nice to have you guys on. Let's get into it, Alan. Let's do this. So, let's go to the schedule planner. So, we'll look at Thursday to Sunday to finish out this scoring week. We've only got one team that has three games. That is the LA Kings. They have three games with one off night. Arizona obviously has two games with two off nights. They had the four games, four off night schedule this week. Carolina, Pittsburgh, the Rangers, the Avs, and the Islanders are the only other teams that are playing on off nights. The Friday and the Sunday are both really, really dry. I think Friday there's only one game, actually. And then Seattle, in terms of teams that you probably don't want to be streaming from, Seattle plays Thursday and then they don't play the rest of the week. So they had a pretty nice schedule to start things off. They had the Monday, Tuesday back-to-back, and then they play Thursday. But if you stream guys from Seattle in for that good start to the week, you could probably drop them at this point. There's not really anyone you want to be hanging on. I mean, depending on the depth of your league, there's probably not a lot of Kraken players that you're probably hanging on to anyway. So yeah, those guys I think you can safely drop. Do you have any comments about the rest of the week?
No, this is Alan. Jay and I were talking about it last night on the weekend preview. Like, they're just, it's bare bones. Like, you're just, hopefully you hung on to a couple of those ads and hopefully you picked up some Coyotes, because otherwise it's a crapshoot.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah, it's going to be tough. The Kings too. They had four games to start the week. So I think a lot of their, common streamers, the Philip Deneau's and all those guys, are snapped up at this point. Next week, we have a lot of games being played. We have 19 teams that are playing four games, which is bonkers. Columbus has the best schedule. Finally, they've had a couple weeks where they barely played any games at all, but they have four games and four off nights. So another really nice streaming team for next week. They have tons of guys available. Obviously, a bit of a volatile team situation. We talk about it all the time. So I don't know, but there are definitely some notable guys that you can pick up that'll probably be fairly productive for you. Buffalo, Chicago, and Winnipeg all have four games with three off nights, so that's kind of the next best situation. San Jose is actually the only team that plays less than three games, so a lot of teams just playing a ton of games. So it may actually be somewhat difficult to fit some guys into your lineup on some of these nights, but it is pretty well dispersed. The games there are nights with 10 games, 8 games. So it's an interesting week. It's gonna be fun, but you're gonna have to make some hard decisions here. So Dallas, Minnesota, Ottawa, Vancouver, Vegas, and Winnipeg all start the week with Monday, Tuesday back to back. So lots of options there as well to kick things off. What is your strategy going into next week, do you think, Alan?
Like I said, hold Coyotes because they also have Monday, Wednesday. But goalie starts, this is where you can get a good start on the week. Your Laurent mm-hmm. Bossois, your Scott Wedgwoods. I think Fleury's still pretty available goalie-wise. Mm-hmm. This is where you can hopefully, if you need to punt this week, grab someone on Sunday to get those back-to-back starts, and then you drop them on Wednesday and you only used one ad to get you some starts for the week.
Absolutely, man. I concur. I think that's a good call. Let's go to shift change and talk about our ads and drops for the rest of this week and going into next week. I'm going to kick things off. I think it's crazy that this guy is still sub 50% rostered. Boone Jenner, last I checked, he was 39% rostered. I imagine it's gone up a little bit since then, but he's back, baby. He's got 3 goals, 13 shots, 9 hits, and 2 blocks in his last 2 games. In those 2 games, he played 26:42 and 22:03 time on ice in each game, respectively. He is 30th in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60 in the league over the last 5 games, 57th in shots per 60, 42nd in individual Corsi 4 per 60. He's playing line one. He's playing power play one. This guy is fucking back. Boone Jenner, you need to be picking this guy up. Like, and I know Blake's going to be proud of me. But yeah, I mean, it's insane that people aren't on this already. He had 9 shots last night alone. So
I think it's just the Blue Jackets. Like, they've had terrible schedules lately. Jenner was out for a while. Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. And then he wasn't getting very good deployment when he came back, and really wasn't producing very well. So yeah, but it seems like he's kind of solidified himself back in that premium center position. So definitely you should be jumping on this guy. Alan, who are you adding?
I am adding, actually, I added him several weeks ago and stashed him, Arturi Lehkonen, 33%. With Machine Gun Valley out, he is probably the next best player on that team after your core of McKinnon, Rantanen, and Makar. He recently got that bump to power play one. Sorry, Ross Colton. And last night, he exploded for a four-point night, 2 goals, 2 assists.
Yep. Yeah, this is what we've been waiting for out of Lehkonen. I know that he had a highly anticipated return from injury. I mean, he's been a huge Apples and Genos guy. I think we've all probably reached to draft him at some point over the last couple of years. And yeah, I mean, it was only a matter of time before he slotted back in on that top power play. Ross Colton obviously had been fairly productive, but it's clear that Lehkonen is the favorite in terms of the left wingers on that team. I mean, outside of Jonathan Drouin, which they seem to love for whatever reason.
I don't know why, man. Like I said on the preseason content, like, I really feel like his best days are behind him. I don't know why they keep trying to make him work on that top line.
And his best days weren't even really that good. I mean, you could argue his best days were in junior. But yeah, I mean, I feel bad for the guy. Obviously, he's had a bit of a tumultuous career in terms of mental health and injuries and whatnot. So that, I mean, that sucks. But like, really, like, I just like, if you're just talking about base numbers.
Even with this deployment, doesn't do anything. He's still on what, like a 45 point pace, 49 point pace.
Yeah. It kind of just shows the lack of depth that Colorado has up front. It'll be interesting to see what they do at the deadline here. My drop is Gus Nyquist. He has been punted off a power play one for Cody Glass, who actually had 2 assists last night and was down to 13 minutes time on ice last night. This guy doesn't do enough to warrant rostering if he's not getting the absolute best deployment. Doesn't have very good underlying numbers. Really just kind of along for the ride with Philip Forsberg and Ryan O'Reilly. And then just getting that top power play deployment. Yeah, I mean, even when he was hot, we were talking about, I mean, this guy is not really doing much under the hood. I think it's more just he's riding the coattails of the guys he's playing with and rocking over 20 minutes a night some nights. But yeah, if he's getting 13 minutes and is not on that top power play, I'm not interested at all. So if you've got Nyquist at this point, I think it's safe to drop. What do you think, man?
Yeah, no, totally agree. But I mean, that even strength deployment, you still gotta love. And I think he's still on what, like a 60, high 60s point pace, like 70 point pace almost. Yeah, I mean, but if he gets that top power play, absolutely worth a grab if Nashville's got a good schedule.
Yep, for sure. Who are you dropping right now, Alan?
Yeah, total homer pick, Mikhail Sergachev. He's still 59% for some reason. He is most likely done for this fantasy season. Even the coach was saying that, no, he won't be ready unless the Lightning go very, very deep. And even when he was playing, he was probably one of, if not our worst looking D-men. And Tampa's schedule's not so good going down the stretch. Even I think one of the playoff weeks, if you're 23 through 25, like Tampa only has 2 games. I would say you're better off using that IR plus spot for someone who's probably guaranteed to come back this season.
What was your reaction to that pain med fueled tweet that Sergachev sent out right after he got injured?
That's a good sign, man. It meant they were working.
I didn't even know that the game was over. it was like, oh, we were getting live tweets from Sergi in the hospital.
Yeah, no, it happened pretty early. I think maybe somewhere in the second, but yeah, it was brutal. Brutal, that replay, just watching him go down on that leg and watching it bend awkwardly.
Yeah, it's gruesome. I mean, I work in healthcare. I see stuff like that all the time, and it doesn't get much, doesn't get any easier to look at, that's for sure. All right, let's hit the power play planner. Let's talk about some power play deployments and changes in power play deployments around the league. We're going to kick things off with the Anaheim Ducks, who have had a very interesting power play situation over the last little while. They have a power play that looks like it should be power play one, with Troy Terry, Mason McTavish, Pavel Minchikov, but that's not power play one. That's not who they're playing for power play one. It's actually Henrik Strom, Silfverberg, Vetrano, and Cam Fowler. That's who they've been playing for the majority of their power play time over the last 2 weeks. And it's fascinating. I keep looking at their last game lines on Frozen Tools and being like, oh, well, this, it must have just been by chance. They're drawing penalties when Troy Terry's on the ice, so they're just throwing out power play two and not getting a ton of opportunities. So they just happen to have a little bit more ice time, but no, it's this is their power play one. I'm not really sure what's going on there. I mean, Frank Vetrano has had a pretty good year. Jakob Silfverberg's a weird one. I think that guy has not had much offensive upside for a long time, maybe even since his days in Ottawa. And then Adam Henrique, I mean, maybe they're trying to pump him up for a trade here, but yeah, I don't know. What do you think about that, man?
Yeah, when you look at left wing lock or whatever for your lines, like if you showed me this in the other unit, I would be like, no, there is no way this is their top unit. But like you said, it all comes down to who gets the time sometimes. But yeah, no, I would not call that their top unit. So
yeah, no,
tank commander.
Definitely not. I mean, I'm baffled by the way that they've utilized Troy Terry this year. It seemed like the last little while they've tried to increase his ice time and really ride with him. And really, he's been producing. I would say he's been point per game over the last 15 or so games. But yeah, I don't get the disrespect for this guy. This guy, I mean, we've been outspoken on this outlet about how he has point per game potential, this guy. I mean, maybe just not in Anaheim. Yeah. We'll see.
Well, and I feel like part of it is too Zegras and oh my gosh, the rookie.
Oh, Carlson.
Yeah, they were load managing. Yeah. Like I'm sure that didn't help him.
Yeah, no, you're right about that for sure. Columbus has got a true power play one over the last couple games. That is Boone Jenner, Johnny Gaudreau, Kirill Marchenko, Zach Werenski, Adam Boqvist. I like this. I like this a lot, man. I like the look of this two defenseman power play. Adam Boqvist has pretty decent offensive acumen. He's not the best in the world. Zach Werenski obviously has to be on this power play. And then those are Jenner, Gaudreau, and Marchenko are probably your three best offensive players. So I think this is about as good as you're going to get. So, but I mean, it's just a matter of whether or not Pascal Vincent is going to keep this deployment going. He has been notorious for throwing things out there. And then the next game, just like completely shuffling it back up again and throwing some like a completely different look out there. So I don't know, man. But I'm excited about the look of that unit at the very least. What do you think?
Yeah. I'm actually surprised they're going 2D and not throwing. Is Voronkov healthy right now? I feel like it was him or Chinnikov.
Chinnikov did not play the last game.
Okay,
so that's something to take note of for sure. But yeah, So I'm a big fan of that. Obviously, Columbus. We talked about them having a nice schedule coming up next week. Almost any of these guys are available. Probably not Zach Werenski, but even Johnny Gaudreau has not been rostered very well. He's getting tons of minutes. I mean, he's worth taking a flyer on at the very least, because Columbus has such a good schedule. But I think I'd probably prefer Boone Jenner. I mentioned that earlier, but Kirill Marchenko is also a great player, and he's getting some nice deployment here. Minnesota actually tried a 5-forward power play in their last game. Not sure if they're going to continue with that, but Brock Faber had been knocked off of the top power play for Ryan Hartman. So they had Hartman, Zuccarello, Kaprizov, Boldy, Joel Eriksson Ek. What's your take on the 5-forward power play?
You know, every time I see a team do this, like on paper, it sounds like cool. It's like, yeah, pure offense. This should be great. And it never works. And then they go back to 4-1 or 3-2 by the week's end. I don't know why they took Faber off. Play the kid, man. He's killing it.
Yeah, I've been a strong proponent of the 5-forward power play in the past, but it just seems like, like you said, every time a team tries it, it doesn't seem to work like everyone else, like everyone hopes that it would. I still think that it is a potentially viable strategy if used correctly, but I don't know that teams have figured out how to properly utilize a 5-forward power play. So it may be something that happens in the future a little bit more, but yeah, for now it's not something that seems to stick. In Montreal, Alex Newhook has made an appearance on the top power play, and the Montreal power play has actually been killing it lately. Nick Suzuki is on an absolute bender. I believe he's shooting over 50% shooting percentage over the last 6 games, which is just complete bonkers. I mean Suzuki's riding the coattails of Cole Caulfield and Yuri Slepkovsky. Slepkovsky's really taken things to another level over the last 20 games or so. And I think the fact that Suzuki's on that line with him and Caulfield, both guys that are generating a ton individually, I think that's huge for Suzuki. And he's the type of player that, you know what, if he's rolling with great line mates, he can chip in offensively too. It's just his individual numbers under the hood and his on ice numbers are they're so bad year after year, but somehow he still ends up getting 60 to 70 points. So I don't know, man, what's your feeling on Montreal?
Slavkovsky, it's weird to see him take off too. I don't know how much, I haven't watched enough Habs games to know if that he's a product of Suzuki and Caulfield or just this is who he is and we're seeing him break out. But yeah, Alex Newhook, he's after Monahan, he was probably like the next most veteran guy on the team. So yeah, it makes sense to throw him up there.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of other options. I think they had Tanner Pearson on there for a little bit, and I don't know. Like he's had good moments, but he's had a tough last few years for sure. Then we've got the Philadelphia Flyers, who are trying. A really nice looking unit as well. They're similar to Columbus, where Tortorella just kind of throws whoever the fuck out there. And tends to play the two power plays fairly evenly in terms of ice time. It looked like this was a fairly true power play one in terms of the ice time that I was looking at. But they had Konechny, Tippett, Morgan Frost, Joel Farabee, and Jamie Drysdale. I've been shouting from a rooftop angrily about them not utilizing Jamie Drysdale on the power play and keeping Igor Zamula out there. I think Zamula didn't even play the last game. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But yeah, Jamie Drysdale quarterbacking that top power play. They got to figure this shit out. Their bottom three power play in the league. That's not good for a playoff team, man. Like no. that's not something that's sustainable. I mean, that's not something that's going to equal playoff success, I don't think, having a power play that poor. What are your thoughts on these guys here? Are you picking up guys like Morgan Frost, Jamie Drysdale, Joel Farabee? Even Farabee's had a pretty good year.
I'd say even probably Drysdale of those. I seem to run a little light on D lately. But I think I told you on Twitter that, like, I think this is a consequence of Torts, because even on Columbus, they just had one of the worst power plays in the league. And I wonder if it is just a galaxy brain move by Torts just to say, like, you don't need a power play to be good. Just 5-on-5.
Yeah, I think, we did have a discussion about this on Twitter, because I then looked up whether or not the 2004 Tampa Bay Lightning, in which the team where he won the cup, whether they had a good power play, and they were like middling bottom half. And I mean, they had weapons like Le Cavalier, St. Louis, Brad Richards. And so like, I mean, you technically should have a pretty decent power play if you have weapons like that, but yeah, I mean, maybe that's Tort's philosophy. I've never heard him say it, but
no, and he probably would never say that, but I just, you know, the evidence is there, man. And even in Columbus, like it seems like he never played Jones or Werenski consistently on that top unit. Mm-hmm. He'd always kind of flip flop them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's interesting. It's frustrating for sure, because I think Philly's been a really nice surprise this year, and they really do have a lot of guys that are viable in terms of fantasy, even just as streamers. So they've been a fun team to kind of keep an eye on here. But yeah, the power play deployment is extremely frustrating. Yeah. St. Louis, we've got Torey Krug back on power play one. He makes his triumphant return, had 5 assists in a game this weekend. What are your thoughts on Torey Krug? He's had really nice underlying numbers for a good chunk of the year, but just hasn't been hasn't necessarily been converting, and yeah, hasn't been getting a consistent power play opportunity.
No, I have not been high on him in a long time. Like, if he's not getting he's like a Tyson Berry. If he's not getting those assists on the power play, he really doesn't get you anything. And even then, is the first few years of his contract, like, he was not great. Like, I'd much rather see Falk I don't think Parayko did anything with it, and Perunovic is out, but I think Krug is just kind of like the best they have right now. I think he really was just a product of that legendary Boston power play.
I think you're right to a certain extent. I still think there's a player in there. I think there is a bit of decline from his Boston days for sure. But I do think that if you look at his numbers under the hood, there are signs of something there still. So I don't know.
A new coach, but we'll see.
Yeah, hopefully. In Toronto, we don't talk about Toronto much in this segment because they typically have a pretty solid, consistent, I mean, the same 5 guys out there at all times on the power play. But Morgan Riley has been suspended for 5 games. So we've got Jake McCabe quarterbacking power play one, which is a bit of a surprise. But that gives him a lot of fantasy viability there. So I think you should be snapping him up at least for the short term. He's typically a pretty good guy in terms of bangs. He hits and he blocks quite a bit, gets quite a bit of ice time. He's kind of on a shutdown pairing with Simone Benoit. And I don't know, he has some offensive instincts. Like, he's definitely not known to be a guy that contributes much offensively, but I mean, I don't think that he's a net negative in terms of offense. But they also had Max Domi and Tyler Bertuzzi out there on power play one because Tavares and Marner were both out with an illness. They were out as well in practice today. So they were still rocking with Domi and Bertuzzi up there. So I don't know, man, are you interested in any of these Leafs or is the rivalry alive inside of you?
I don't know about McCabe. I'm honestly surprised they didn't try someone like Giordano, who has experience running a power play on his resume. I don't know that, but I'd love to be wrong. But Domi and Bertuzzi, yeah, if Tavares and Marner are out, those are probably the guys we always say to stream anyway. But yeah, if they're getting that deployment, why not? But they're out with illness. They'll probably be back sooner than Riley.
Yeah, fair enough. I think that I imagine I wouldn't be surprised that if they're back next game. But yeah, Jake McCabe, I think, is definitely worth a stream. We actually
have there we go. Like I said in the chat, like Lilligren was one of the names I had heard thrown out there.
That's right. Yeah. So Lilligren actually, and Super Forecaster has a question here, but yeah, I will address the Lilligren thing. Sheldon Keefe has not been happy with Timothy Lilligren over the last little while. There was a play where he was quarterbacking power play two, and a player got behind. I can't remember which game it was, but it was a rookie that scored his first NHL goal, jumped out of the box and got behind him, got a breakaway and scored. Keefe like absolutely lit him up in the post game press conference, basically calling it peewee bullshit. So it was not a good look for Lilligren, and he's had a tough time getting into the lineup with Keefe. I think there have been times where he actually has played well enough to be in the lineup and play more minutes, but Keefe, for whatever reason, it just isn't a big fan. But yeah, there have been some pretty nasty moments for Lilligren lately. So I think Keefe is not wanting to reward him by putting him on power play one and giving him that opportunity, which is unfortunate because I think outside of Riley, he probably is the next best guy to be quarterbacking that power play. Gio, like you said, Gio's just
he's washed, but he has the experience. That's maybe they throw 100%.
They have used him in the last couple of years, but it's been tough. It's been tough. That guy he has a tough time getting around the ice. It's hard to watch. So Super Forecaster asks, is Juraj Slafkovský a long term hold, or would you drop for McCabe to help with your week? What do you think there, Alan?
What's Montreal's? I forget what Montreal's schedule is next week, but I think it depends on what your needs are, right? Like if you need, Toronto has a pretty good schedule next week. I think it depends on what your needs are though. If you need help on defense, go McCabe, but otherwise I think Slafkovský, I think you said Suzuki shooting at like 50%, that won't hold. But I don't know. It depends. If you need the forward, Slafkovský. If you need the D, McCabe, before someone else gets to him.
I think you run with Slafkovský until the shine wears out a little bit. I think he's running so hot right now. He's a difficult guy to drop. So yeah, unless you really desperately need a D man and he's absolutely at the very bottom of your lineup, I probably wouldn't be dropping Slafkovský at this point. But yeah, if he goes a couple games without doing shit all, then yeah, I think you could definitely drop him. That being said, McCabe's only really super viable until Riley's back, so for the next few games. So and honestly, chances are good they convert on the power play without even really utilizing Jake McCabe that much. He's kind of just a placeholder, so he may get in on some second assists, but those four guys snap the puck around to each other pretty well. So let's keep going here. We've got one more team to look at. The Vegas Golden Knights have Alex Pietrangelo back on power play one, which is interesting. He hadn't had much success for a while. They had Alec Martinez on there for a few weeks, but Pietrangelo back on PP1. But interestingly enough, Shea Theodore has actually been skating with a non-contact jersey in practice of late. I imagine that when he is back healthy, he will probably slot back on power play one. They have been utilizing him there pretty consistently to start off the year, and he had just an absolutely amazing start to the season. Had just a really unfortunate injury, has been out for quite a while, for a few months now. But I think he's probably the guy when he comes back. What are your thoughts there on Vegas? Obviously Martinez is a drop at this point because he's not a power play one, but are you excited about the return of Theodore? Do you have any shares there?
No Theodore shares. Usually he goes late and I'm grabbing someone else at that point. But Pietrangelo makes sense. I guess the Miramanov experiment failed. I did read today that Theodore, yes, I think he skated in a contact jersey today. Then he has said that not this week, but he expects to play next week.
Awesome. Awesome. Love to hear it. I actually traded for him in the Tidy, which is the Fantasy Hockey Life tier dynasty league. They have a point system where defense goals and assists are worth more than forwards. And I had Dougie Hamilton in that league. He was one of my early draft picks. And so that really hurt.
It's aged very poorly.
So yeah, definitely. But so I made a big deal for Shea Theodore. It was a big package. I think I sent Bowen Byram the other way. It was to a team that is probably not going to be promoted this year. And I'm near the top of the league. So I wanted to kind of just push myself over the edge. So I was like, okay, Theodore, I think we'll be back by playoff time, hopefully. So I took a gamble, but I think it looks like it'll hopefully pay off here. All right, let's go to From Zero to Hero. So we'll take a look at some 0G candidates around the league. There's not a lot of new names to talk about here, but just to reiterate, some guys that are sub 50% rostered, that somehow some of these guys, I'm shocked they're still not snapped up. The Anaheim Ducks, we've got John Gibson. He's 37% rostered. He's been pretty much a volume starter for the last month and a bit. They're not utilizing Lucas Dostal as much. Dostal did get a start the other night, but got shelled. So I think Gibson is probably still a guy that's going to get some volume here. So, I mean, if you're desperate for some volume, he's definitely an option that's out there for sure. The Buffalo Sabres, we've got UPL, who has started 10 of their last 12 games. He has a 939 save percentage over that span. He's an absolute must add at this point. He is still 47% rostered. That's so shocking to me. He's had such a ridiculous run. He had a shutout last night. I believe he made 35 saves against the LA Kings. They won 7-0. So Buffalo has quietly been actually playing pretty well the last little while, despite only playing Tage Thompson and Jeff Skinner like 15 minutes a night. It's just insane. But I mean, what are your feelings on the Sabres and on UPL? Have you picked him up in any spots?
I have picked him up here and there when he's been on streaks earlier in the season, but he is gone where I was able to get him before. They're a team that I come deadline, I think they're only going to get worse. So I don't know how viable he is past whatever streak he's on right now.
Yeah. I don't know how many assets on that team are really tradable. Do you know what I mean?
I've heard Eric Johnson, Tuck.
Yeah. Yeah, Alex Tuck, I did hear that people are inquiring about Tuck, but that they're not into trading Tuck, which I don't blame them. Apparently Tuck is
hometown hero.
He's a hometown hero and he's excited to play in Buffalo, which that's hard to find. So but it is unfortunate. He's having a tough go this year. And they're playing him down the lineup a little bit. He's been playing with Jordan Greenway. And they actually had an awesome night last night, that line. I believe they scored 3 or 4 goals. So he has been producing. Tage Thompson, Jeff Skinner, not so much, but UPL has been awesome the last little while. So definitely be snapping him up. The Chicago Blackhawks, man, I just keep talking about Peter Mrazek, and he keeps performing. 33% rostered. I'm serious, guys. He's got a 910 save percentage still in Chicago this year, volume starter, still like a top 12 kickupful goaltender. This guy's going to get you volume. He's not going to allow that many goals. I mean,
with the team in front of him, that's the amazing part.
Yeah. It's crazy, man. He's looking like Alex Stalock last year. Just a guy that, I don't know, seemingly came out of nowhere. I mean, Mrazek's had hot points of his career, but he's struggled with injuries, and honestly, like, his mechanics are awful, but he's so athletic that there are times where he just gets red hot and is stopping everything. So I mean, he's had a very long stretch of really, really good play. So definitely a guy that is under the radar that you could be picking up for sure. We've got the LA Kings. So Dave Riddick has started 8 of the last 10 games. He's 33% rostered right now. He actually got pulled after allowing 5 goals on 17 shots last night. So I would be watching actually for Cam Talbot. There's a lot of leagues where Talbot's been dropped just because he hasn't been playing at all. So if they give him another shot and he kind of figures things out, I mean, this is your opportunity to snap up a guy for the stretch run here. The LA Kings need wins, so they need to find some consistency in goal. I imagine they're probably a candidate to pick one up at the deadline. But yeah, I think Dave Riddick is definitely still an option, but be watching Cam Talbot as well. Have you picked up Riddick in any spots?
I think I picked him up for a spot start, but I think what indirectly helped me win last week was Riddick shutting out the Oilers, because I was playing someone with McDavid, Hyman, and Bouchard. Yes. So that game was just a big nothing for him. And yeah, like I needed that that hedge.
Yeah, that was absolutely massive. I played a few teams with a lot of Oilers last week too, and that game was absolutely huge for me. So let's talk about New Jersey. So this is an interesting one. I think this has the potential, the most potential long-term viability here on a very under-the-radar name. It's Nico Daws. He's 11% rostered. He has started 2 straight for the Devils and has only allowed 3 goals over those 2 games. They won both games. Jack Hughes is back in the lineup, so that's also huge. It's something to watch going forward. I would be seriously looking at picking him up, because Vitek Vanacek has been unplayable this year. And every time they give him a run, he just absolutely shits his pants. And I just think that if Nico Daws is even average, they're going to give him a run. Also, sounds like this is New Jersey is another team that's looking for a goalie. There was a report from Elliot Friedman that Jacob Markstrom had actually waived his no trade clause to go to New Jersey because there was a deal in place, but it fell through. So they're clearly on the hunt right now. So we'll see how that plays out. But for now, I think Nico Daws is a guy that you should be looking at. How are you feeling about New Jersey and their goaltending situation? Like, they got to figure it out at some point, right?
Yeah, no, I think part of it too was losing Dougie, man. He was the cornerstone of their defense. So they're just kind of playing kids this season. Well, you know what? Yeah. I think they had a couple guys that I've seen throughout the years. Kira Schmid also been awful. So if any of those guys can put together a run and run with it, you got to grab them, because they got great offense.
Yeah, 100%. All right, let's. The last one I wanted to talk about is Sam Ersson. He's still only 47% rostered. He is a volume starter going forward. We've mentioned it for a few weeks now, and has figured it out of late. He has started 3 of the last 4 games for Philly. They've been on a 4-game win streak. He's been great. So I would be absolutely picking up Ersson if he's still out there for you. I think for the stretch run, I don't see Philly as a buyer for goaltenders. So I'm going to guess, like, everyone is saying that they're going to be sellers at the deadline. I think that they're kind of just at a point where making the playoffs is a nice pleasant surprise. If they make a nice little run, they're going to be a tough team to play in the playoffs. I think they're going to be a gritty team. If they ever figure out their power play, they could be one of these surprise teams. They have the makings of a team like Florida last year, where they sneak into the playoffs and then they go on a little run to the conference finals. That they're that type of team. And they have enough weapons with, like, Travis Konecny and
Couturier
and Owen Tippett. Sean Couturier is back. Cam Atkinson is sneaky good too. He doesn't get a ton of respect. I think he deserves more, but I think that Sam Ersson is a guy that you should definitely, I think he's going to be one of the zero G heroes of the season this year when we, at the end of the year, when we look back on things. So if he is out there for you and you need a goalie, you should be grabbing him. Let's go to Hutch versus we'll talk about last week's verdict. So this is the segment where me and my guest, we each pick a zero G or a sub 50% rostered goalie on Yahoo for the next week. That's from Thursday to next Tuesday. We use kickuffle scoring. Whichever goalie has more kickuffle points by the end of that time period, they get a win. So up until this point, I was on a pretty good run. I've lost a couple weeks in a row. Blake beat me last week. He picked Sam Ersson, took him right out from my fingertips. So I went with Peter Mrazek. He just edged me out. He had 14.4 kickuffle points. Mrazek had 11.4. So my season series lead is down to 7-5. So Alan, you're going to get a shot here. Who are you going with for the next week?
So I am going with Anton Forsberg, high risk, high reward. Ottawa's been playing a little better lately. They have a back-to-back coming up here, even though it's against the two Florida teams, so that's killer's alley. But they also have games against Chicago and Anaheim. They could use one or both of those games as a chance to rest Korpisalo, who's actually, he started six straight, but I think in that six games, he's 4-2. He's against some of those teams are pretty good.
Yeah. I think that's a great pick, man. I Ottawa is trending in the right direction. I mean, I talk about this all the time. They are the kings of, once they're out of contention, going they're on disruptors. An absolute banger run. Yeah. They're shit disturbers for sure. I like that pick a lot. I've always been high on Anton Forsberg the last few years. I definitely support that pick. My pick this week is going to be Nico Daws. I talked about him earlier about it seems like he may get a bit of a run here. I don't think that they have a lot of other options. So they play three games over this time frame. They play LA, Philly, and Washington. None of those teams of late have been like major, like clicking on all cylinders in terms of offense. So I'm kind of hedging my bets here. I think that, I think Nico Daws could potentially get all three starts, especially if New Jersey keeps winning. And I like the fact that Jack Hughes is back in the lineup. He's going to get some goal support here. Timo Meier even scored a goal the other night, which is pretty cool. Insane. Up to 10 goals on the season. So good for Timo Meier. But yeah, I'm going to go with Nico Daws. So Anton Forsberg versus Nico Daws. We will see how things go next week. All right, let's go to the hockey hotline. That is the mailbag segment. We have a bunch of questions in the Discord. If you're in the chat still on the stream, feel free to ask a question. We'll try and get to them as best we can. The first question here is from Crazy Islander. He is asking, Trocheck has been quiet. What are the underlying numbers saying? Playoffs coming. I don't need quiet Trocheck for fuck's sake. Crazy Islander, I'm surprised that you have Trocheck on your roster being a New York Islanders fan, but obviously you're a competitive fantasy hockey player. Because Vinny Tro has been awesome this year. So I did take a look at the underlying numbers over the last five games. Vincent Trocheck is 237th in the league in shots per 60, which is it's a slight decrease from where he was before. He's not a huge shooter. He is 124th in individual Corsi 4 per 60. That's actually increased over his season averages, and 83rd in individual scoring chances 4 per 60, also up from his season averages. His individual numbers are not crazy. He's not getting as many shots through, but he is still getting to those areas where he's getting scoring chances, and actually a little bit better than he was prior. his on ice numbers, Corsi 4 per 60, 197th, and his scoring chances 4 per 60, 122nd. Both of those numbers are down a little bit. So as a team around him when he's on the ice, they're not producing as much offensively. And then the Rangers haven't scored a power play goal in 7 games. So that's another big factor. That red hot power play has gone cold. So I think they're probably going to figure it out. I think they're just on a cold stretch right now. Trocheck seems to be doing all the things individually that he was doing earlier in the year. He only has 2 assists over those last 5 games. But I expect things to turn back around for Vinny Tro. What do you feel about friend of the show, Vinny Tro?
No, I actually like, I have him in a league. I love him. If his peripherals are still worth like that valuable to you, you got to hang on. He's still on like, I think a 73 point pace on the season, which is one of his best. And he's still playing with Breadman, still on power play one. Like if he holds all that, you gotta ride it out.
Absolutely. Get Your Fill Up asks, has Dylan Guenther and the, hold on a second.
It's
Dylan
a trade. Guenther, I think it's a trade question.
Oh, this is a trade. Dylan Guenther and the 19th for Riley Smith and a 15th. 12 team head-to-head points only keeper league. I'm going for the win, sitting third overall with the highest points for. I don't really know that, man. Dylan Guenther, that must be a really deep keeper league. I don't know that Riley Smith really moves the needle enough for you. Like, I know he's playing power play one right now, but I mean, I guess Dylan Genther's not really. I mean, their production is almost, I feel like, rest of season fairly similar. I don't know, man. What do you think about that?
I think both of them have shaky deployment. Dylan Guenther, yeah, he's been hot for a few games. But Riley Smith, he's got the pedigree between the Florida and Vegas teams. I don't think his deployment on that top power play is secure. I know they're constantly cycling him, Rust, Rickle Rackle, on that top unit.
Yeah, I'm not. I just don't know that really does much for you. I almost think it's almost
kind of a wash.
Yeah. So that trade doesn't really excite me. I'm going to be honest, Get Your Fill Up. But we've got a question in the chat here. From V105 Memorial, need to drop DeBrincat, Jarvis, or Lafreniere to activate Jack Hughes' thoughts. Ooh, that's tough. I would definitely be dropping Lafreniere though.
I think
DeBrincat, obviously you can't be dropping him. Seth Jarvis has been very productive this year. Lafreniere obviously is taking a huge, huge step. But not getting power play deployment. He's produced pretty well 5v5, but I think he's the definite drop.
I mean, it stinks to lose that winger depth with Laf being dual eligible, but Jack Hughes, he's an elite player. Like if he's playing, he's one of those guys that you find a way to play him.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's go back to the Discord. Crazy Islander looks like he's got another question. There's a couple questions about Shea Theodore, actually. I could peel Theodore off for cheap, I think, from a GM who's out of the race. It's risky if he doesn't come back along, but he is skating. Vegas 4 games in week 2 of the playoffs for me. Should I go for it? Sharon Govich in a 7th 3-man keeper league. Yeah, I would definitely go. I would definitely try and acquire Shea Theodore for Sharon Govich at a 7th. I think that's if you're going for the win, that absolutely I would be going for that. What do you think, Alan?
Yeah. And with all the Shea Theodore talk, I think we really got to be cautiously optimistic about him, because even if he gets that deployment right away, I mean, he's missed how many games, and we just saw with Lehkonen, took him handful of games to get going. Brandon Montour earlier this season missed quite a bit of time, and he still hasn't quite gotten to where he was last season. So rein in expectations, I think, on Theodore.
Yeah, a little bit, but I do think that it's an investment for the playoffs.
So hopefully by then he is back up to game speed.
Hopefully by then he's back up to game speed. But yeah, I mean, that's not always the case, especially when you've missed as much time as he has. Sasha Lagarde asks, is Victor Arvidsson worth an ad? So that's interesting. I love Victor Arvidsson. That's another guy that's been out the entire season. So you don't know how I think it really depends on your league, how deep your league is. I would say in a fairly deep league, I would absolutely be snapping up Victor Arvidsson. Also, right now he's still got IR eligibility, so you could probably, if you have a spare ad, throw him on the IR, and throw him on your IR plus, and then the Kings still have three games the rest of the week. If he does slot into the lineup, that's a pretty nice way to finish out your week. And even if he's not super productive, you're still probably getting a few points here and there. I'm not sure where he's going to slot into the lineup. That's the only problem. Like I could see, that second line with Danault, Moore, and Kevin Fiala has pretty much been solidified for the entire year. He's probably going to slot in where Alex Laferriere is on that third line with Pierre-Luc Dubois, which I'm not super stoked about. No. I don't love that for Victor Arvidsson. I also don't know that he'll get back on the top power play, because it seems like I don't know. You never know. The Kings really are reeling right now. So I imagine they're probably, if you get another offensive guy back in the fray, I think it's probably worth a shot, giving him a shot. But again, he had pretty extensive back surgery, I believe. So it's hard to say where he's going to be at. But I do think taking a flyer on him, it's probably worth it, especially if he's just on the waiver wire there. What do you think, Alan?
Yeah, no, agree. This will probably, like I think he kind of hints at, this will probably be like a better real hockey move than a fantasy hockey move. If he's playing with PLD, no thanks. I don't know, maybe they try moving Byfield off that top line, give Arvidsson some top line who knows. They got to try something. They're in a slide.
Hard Day's Night says Alex Tuch finally scored but took crazy night offensively for the team to get on the board. Is he a hold, or do you drop for Arvidsson or Slavkovsky? No, I'm holding Alex Tuch. There's too much offensive upside there. Obviously, he's off power play one. But that line that he's playing on with Jordan Greenway, they've been getting the most 5v5 minutes. It's kind of crazy. They're playing the top line, quote unquote, of Thompson, Skinner, and Kyle Okposo, which is crazy. They've been playing the least 5v5 minutes out of any line over the last few games, which is just so ridiculous. And then Tuck's line has been playing the most. So I don't hate that position for Alex Tuch. Obviously you'd like him to be on power play one, but they're just not, I don't know. Dog Renato needs to be fired. That's like, if he's not gone at the end of the season, I think that's, it's a huge mistake. That the way that they've had struggles all year, but I think that, I don't know. With the pieces they have in place, I think they should be a lot better. And I think a lot of that comes down to coaching. Like Tage Thompson should not be playing 60 minutes a game. That's so ridiculous. What's your feel on this? Would you be swapping, Arvidsson or Slavkovsky, in for Alex Tuch?
I'll say definitely not Arvidsson, because we don't know what he's going to do yet. Slavkovsky, I think we both kind of agree that's a flash in the pan at the moment. So I think, yeah, you kind of hold with Tuch, especially since Buffalo has a good schedule next week.
Yeah, I think I'm still trying to be patient with Alex Tuch. Although it has been tough as a guy that's rostered him in a few spots this year. It's been a challenging year for sure. He said it's been a pretty significant drop off. Let's go with
question of the evening, right?
Yeah, the question. We'll go with this one now. So Nate asks, my question for the pork man. You must divide three equally important tasks between myself, Blake Creamer, and Josh. One must manage your fantasy hockey teams. One must do your taxes, and one must write the poem that will woo your significant other on Valentine's Day. Who are you assigning to each task and why?
I think this is easy. Josh, you're getting my fantasy teams. Like, I've listened to you enough. I think they're good hands. Nate's doing my taxes because I remember he works something in the corporate world. I don't think it's accounting, but probably accounting adjacent. And it's super easy if I give you all of my documents, my H&R Block login. Like, it's simple stuff. But yeah, Blake's writing the poem, and my wife is actually looking forward very much to it. So awesome. Going, Blake.
I love it. Lots of Blake-isms, lots of pop culture references from the 80s. I mean, you can't go wrong with that. I think that's the correct answer. When I looked at this question going in, I think it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, me. My wife was like, so when am I getting my Blake poem?
Yeah. Okay. Well, Blake, you've been called out. Get to writing, get to biz, buddy. But yeah, Nate, obviously, I think he should be doing your taxes. He's the smartest. He's evidently the smartest with numbers.
I mean, I've used those spreadsheets. Prediction spreadsheets. Come on. Like, I know he can work the Excel.
Yeah, of course. Of course. And then, I mean, I'd love to run your fantasy hockey teams. Anytime you need any help, just let me know. Blake Creamer says, to add on to this, describe your perfect Valentine's date, and of the three of us, who would be the best one to celebrate with?
You know, honestly, wife and I are like super low key people. One of our favorite things to do, when COVID first hit, like everything was shut down. So we would hold what we would call snack smorgasbord, where we'd buy just all the chips, the chocolate candies, like the fruity candies, like your Sour Patch Kids, Mike and Ike's, and just spread it all out, like pop in like a movie. Like, we went through a lot of like early 2000s comedies that. Like, that is, I would say, like, that is a solid Valentine's Day date. Like, you're not trying to get into a restaurant somewhere. You're not trying to make the movies or whatever with everyone else. It's just relaxing, low-key night.
We've been known to do that as well, actually, just buy like a sampling of different snacks and just kind of spread them all out and watch a movie at home. That's awesome. I love that.
But I think Blake's the guy there. He's got the movie knowledge. Like, he would probably throw something out there that either I've never seen or haven't seen in so long. I'm like, oh yeah, I got to watch that again.
How old are you, Alan? I'd like to ask.
I turn 39 next month.
Okay. So you grew up in a similar era to Blake then. So it's not like the pop culture reference aren't.
No, it's not lost on me.
Completely out of. Yeah. Okay. That's good. That's good. Yeah. I mean, I understand a good chunk. I'm a bit of an old soul, but there are a few where I'm just like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. Some of the sound bits that he has on the Cream of the Crop show, I literally have no fucking clue where that came from. Sounds like a lot of them are from like commercials from the early 90s.
I feel like that was peak commercial era too. Like, you just don't see commercials the way they used to do back then.
Yeah, just jingles galore. for sure. All right, let's talk about, so Jackson asks the best trade target for a goal scorer for the playoff run. That's interesting. Alan, have you been targeting anyone?
This one's a little bit of a toughie because I'm not sure if Jackson means like leading up to the playoffs. Like, you need someone who's gonna kind of push you over the edge,
right?
If that's the case, I would say Kyle Connor is a really good target. Winnipeg's kind of having some trouble scoring, even with Kyle Connor back. I was looking, I forget exactly why, but I was just checking out like schedules, games played for between now and playoffs. Winnipeg mm-hmm. and Anaheim have some of the most games left, and more than half of their games, Winnipeg and Anaheim, are on off nights. So easy guy that could fit in your roster. Weeks 23 through 25. I think if you can get one of the Edmonton guys, probably Nuge is probably the low-hanging fruit there. Edmonton's got one of the better schedules, actually, in both formats, 23 through 25 and 24 to 26. I think Capitals are probably the best for 23 through 25, but at that point, mm-hmm. you're probably looking at Wilson and a Bangers, Dylan Strome, but I don't know if he sticks around past the deadline. If he does, that's the guy I would say to try and target, but you'd probably get him for free right now. I think he's 30% owned.
Yeah, he's a guy that's kind of on a lot of waiver wires, and at least in leagues that I've been in, kind of streaming him in when Washington has a good schedule. I think if it was a week ago, and I would have said buy low on Alex Ovechkin right now, because I think at some point he's going to pop. He's starting to pop, so obviously you're not going to. You're probably going to have to pay more of a premium. He's scored in his last six games, I think. So that's, it seems like he's kind of turning things around, which is great to see. I would say I'd be targeting some guys from the Ottawa Senators. They have a great schedule to finish off the year. I think they've played the least games in the league out of any team still so far. So,
but I guess who would you get from the Sens, though? I don't think anyone's going to trade you Tkachuk or Timmy Stew. Well, yeah, I don't know. Timmy Stew's been cold lately. You might be able to get him, but you're going to pay like 85, 90 cents on the dollar.
That my thought was, Tim Stützle is probably a good player to buy low on, just because he's had a bit of a tough season. I think Claude Giroux is another guy that is fairly consistent, that I don't think he gets as much respect. The respect that he deserves for the production that he brings. So that's a guy I think you could target pretty easily. Drake Batherson is also another guy that has had pretty decent production throughout the year. And Josh Norris, I think, honestly, too, that's a guy that I don't think is getting his due. You could almost get him for free. Like he's another guy that I think probably should be rostered a little bit more. But And then honestly, any of that top nine is pretty solid. I think Tarasenko, by the sounds of things, is going to be gone by the deadline. Maybe don't be jumping on him. Shane Pinto is getting pretty good deployment as well. And that's a guy that could potentially pop. But I think that buying low on Tim Stützle, Drake Batherson is another guy that I'd be interested in. And then if you can pick up Josh Norris for free, I think that's a guy that I would be targeting too, for this stretch run, where Ottawa tends to absolutely kill it. Humble Pineapple says, how do you navigate a situation where you don't have anyone droppable on your roster? You need to make room for someone that's coming off the IR, and you're having trouble getting a 2-for-1 trade through. How much value do you give up to make a 2-for-1 trade happen to free up that space? That's an excellent question. What are your thoughts here, Alan?
That is a toughie. I would say unless it is in the rules that you have to move someone out of IR within a certain amount of time, honestly, if you don't think you have someone you could drop to as like a streamer spot or something, maybe you just hold pat and maybe someone else gets injured and then you switcheroo them and now you're in business. But it depends on what you're giving up. Most of the reason I play fantasy is to own the players I'm excited about. So if you overpay a little bit to get someone you like, I'm not saying you go out and trade like Matthews and McKinnon for someone you love, but I would say, if you're paying $1.25 on the dollar to get someone you enjoy holding, why not? Especially if you feel like that's going to be your ace in the hole come playoffs.
Yeah, I think that the value of having streamer spots is huge. So if you're struggling to to drop anyone off your roster. That's a tough situation to be in, especially going into the playoffs. You're going to need a little bit of flexibility in order to maximize games played. So I think sacrificing a little bit of value is not necessarily a bad thing, because you've got to think about the guys that you're potentially picking up, the production from the guy that's coming off of your IR as well. I guess that's definitely a factor. I think that it's never a bad thing to try and get a 2-for-1 trade through. If you have to sacrifice a little bit of value, I think that flexibility is much more valuable than people than some people think. So if you have to sacrifice a little bit, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. It's hard to really quantify unless
without specific an players. Example.
It's a tough one to go through. I'm trying to think of an example, but Humble Pineapple, if you have a specific example, send it through and maybe I'll go through it next week. Skulls asks, how are the Devils' underlings looking? Also, how is Dawes as a goalie candidate? Obviously, I picked Dawes as my from zero to hero pick of the week. So I'm pretty high on him going forward. I mentioned he had two starts in a row and looked pretty solid. So and then the Devils, they've been like top 10 in most offensive categories, power play, production. Their PDO is pretty average, not too high, not too low. So it seems like they're figuring things out. I think the bottom line is they just need saves. They've got Jack Hughes back in the lineup, like I said, and they're still doing the thing. They're still their Corsi 4 percentage, their scoring chances 4 percentage, they're still a positive. They're still over 50% in both. They're controlling the play for the most part. They're the better team in most games. So I still am fairly high on the Devils. I don't know that they're going to get back into the race, but they're definitely a team that's going to be competing for it. But yeah, Dawes, I think going forward, that's a really, really nice option for a CRG candidate. Let's do one more question. I'm going to take it from the Mark Skinner, another guy that has been a question asker on this show from the very beginning. I haven't seen as much from Mark Skinner, but it's nice to hear from you, buddy. Hey guys, I'm in a position in a points league where I have to drop one of the following: Rust, Lekkonen, Buchnevich, or Hagel. Who is the drop here? Thanks again, as always. Alan, I'd like to hear your input.
Yeah, honestly, again, guys. Homer pick, Hagel. Line two with Sorelli and Nick Paul, not the sexiest of line mates. He's not getting power play one. Tampa's schedule kind of down the stretch and even in the playoffs, depending on what format you're in, is not great. Rust, though, he's one of those guys we talked about, circles on and off, power play one. But even strength plays with, I think, usually Crosby and or Malkin, like two of the best guys in the game still. Lekkonen, I'm hyped on him. Has that adjacency to that core in Colorado. Buchnevich, I can't argue with his deployment. And I think down the stretch, the Blues have, I don't want to say necessarily the best schedule, but they play a lot of teams that are kind of bottom of the pack. So great opportunity for him there.
Yeah, I think that I like what you said about Hagel's position in the lineup, because I think that's the key here. I think that the other three guys, Buchnevich, Lekkonen, and Rust, I think that they are most likely to get opportunities on the top power play and currently are. Tampa has shown this year that they are very happy with the five that they have on power play one. So it doesn't seem like there's room for Hagel to really move up. They also haven't really been playing him on the top line like they did last year with Cooch and Braden Point. He has been productive. Like I just looked the other day and he's just sub point per game this year, which is crazy. But I just think that going forward, the other three guys are in a better lineup situation. So I think Hagel would be the guy that I'm dropping in that situation. I don't feel good about it, but yeah, I think that would definitely be my choice. All right. Well, I think that's pretty much all we have for today. I'll cut things off because we're running a little bit long. But Alan, thank you for joining me. I'm going to give you a chance to plug things. But before you go, I just thought I want you to can you explain why you're the pork man?
Yeah, I was wondering if that would come up. So we'll go back to circa 2000. It was one of those points in time where like, yeah, man, bacon is cool. So I was playing a game on a school computer called Dope Wars. I don't know if you familiar with it at all.
Yeah.
Buy low, sell high, drugs, whatever. I got a high score. So I'm like, well, I don't want to put my real name on a school computer and incriminate myself. So Porkman. All right, cool. Fast forward a few months later, Halo 1 was the game. Got invited to play with a few buddies overnight. Go to create my character, and I'm like, what do I put? Aha, yeah, Porkman. All right. And everyone laughs, finds it hilarious. It was like a nickname for a while. Like, there were some people that only knew me as Porky. And it's just been my gamer handle forever. Like, my kids even see, like, they know it's me, but they have no idea where it came from.
That's funny. That's very funny. Yeah, it's funny how sometimes those names just stick, and there's not really like a there's not like a huge reason behind it. It's just like kind of like, yeah, that's just what I put. That's just my username. That's cool, man. Why don't you plug yourself? What are you doing? What have you guys got going on over at the Taxi Squad coming?
Yeah, of course, yeah, Taxi Squad. We're on the same Fivefold channel. Through at least this season, and who knows where things go from there. I'm just taking it one season at a time. But this Saturday on the Fivefold YouTube channel, we're going to start our Sit Start Saturday back up. That was a fantasy hockey podcast staple back in the day. I'm just going to be able to pop in comments in a live show, just like we're doing tonight. Get your questions answered on who's starting, who's benching. But yeah, that's me right now.
All right. Love it. Yeah. Well, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
This was a lot of fun. All right, everyone, please leave us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Thank you to those who already have. It's helped us a lot with our audience growth. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're trying to hit 1,000 subscribers by the end of the season. We are well on our way, but we could use your help. Also, if you like our content, check out the Apples and Genos Patreon to support us on a monthly basis. Hop into the Apples and Genos Discord server. We're having lots of discussions about fantasy hockey in there. Shout outs to the band. They're there for providing our music. Their Spotify link is in the episode description. Follow us on X. Nate is at Apples Genos. Blake is at Blake Creamer AG. I'm at Just Josh and 41. Alan, what's your Twitter handle?
Yeah. Taxi Squad Alan, all one word. If you look at any of our episodes, all of us are on there. Craig, Jay, Maddie K, links to us. Feel free to reach out anytime.
Awesome. Love to hear it. Please practice safe stats and happy streaming. Have a good one, folks.